You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Ho, ho, ho. 'Twas the week before our break. To another year we say goodbye. The barnyard buzzers are resting, charging in the manger nearby. Trivial Pursuit cards are stacked by the chimney with care. Get ready, friends. Our holiday clips show is here.
Chrysalids in chrysalis crisscrossing through chrysanthemums while crystallizing crispies about chrisms and crispreads. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 264, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your holiday honeys, hoping for some hoppin' hot sauce and holla.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris.
Today is our penultimate episode before next week's season finale, and today is a special ding 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 ding,
ding. Very special holiday greetings to you all from Good Job Brain. Wow, it's a special holiday gift to you, a clip show, because we're all too busy with the holidays.
We have curated the best and the funniest and the most trivia-est holiday-related clips, segments, and quizzes from the past library of, I don't know, 260 episodes. I know people are kind of like roll their eyes at clip shows, but we've been doing this for a really long time. Sometimes yes. we should bubble up and curate and have these kind of like themed anthologies to bring back things that we even forgot that we talked about.
It's a present to us as well, yeah.
Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Of course, we're going to do a fresh one, so grab your barnyard buzzers. I got a random card here. Let's hope it's one of those Christmas ones. It's not.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is not a miracle because it's not the Christmas one. This is Forte.
I love Forte. Here we
okay,
go.
Here we go. All right.
Give me that soaps question.
Here we go.
Yep.
What 30s crooner? Oh. Crooner.
That would be okay. Better. That would be better.
That would all be right. Guessable. Yeah. Okay. Blue Witch for soaps.
Soaps.
Which soap opera star has worked as a movie stuntman and has doubled for Billy Dee Williams?
Oh my gosh.
Lando Calrissian himself. Wow. Again, which soap opera star has worked as a movie stuntman and has doubled for Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah. Oh, we do have our theme because what is Billy Dee Williams' full legal name, guys? You know this.
It is William December Williams.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Chris, when this was in the show.
I know, William, but I don't remember the things from the show.
December Williams. Oh, we had our Christmas miracle.
There
snuck
it is.
Snuck a December
it,
in there.
It was a Christmas
miracle. I'm clearly stalling because I have no idea.
It is Eddie Earl Hatch.
Eddie Earl Hatch.
All right.
Eddie Earl Hatch. Well, however, it also says parentheses Tucker Foster. So I know.
What?
I don't
know. Oh, maybe
is that a character name?
Character on the show? Yeah, probably.
Oh, I see. Not like his SAG name
Eddie
versus
Earl
real
Hatch,
name.
Doubling for Billy Dee Williams.
Okay.
All right. Pink Witch for cartoons.
Okay.
Pink Witch for cartoons. Where did Rocket Robin Hood and his merry men live?
Rocket Robin Hood?
Yes.
And
Rocket
his merry
Robin
men?
Hood. Yes.
Oh. Sherwood Planet.
Yeah,
Sherwood Planet.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, that's good. I like it. Or
that's better than the actual answer, which is the solar-powered asteroid Sherwood Forest.
Oh man, that's not even a joke.
There's not even a terrible pun.
But I was sort of onto it. That's way better than
Starwood Forest, even asteroid. Something. Come on,
Sherwood Forest.
Okay, whew, we can do it. We can do it. Yellow Edge for space. There's a whole category dedicated to space on Forte. How fast is Warp 1? Colin.
The speed of light.
Correct. Oh, it is the okay. speed right. of light.
Okay. Yeah.
Parentheses, Tucker Foster. All right.
All right.
Brown, okay. wedge All right. for, All right. brown wedge for pears. Who starred as Grandpa and Grandma Walton?
Oh.
Wait, we have to name them both?
Yes.
Oh, well, that stinks because I don't know either of them.
What is this referring
to? The Waltons.
Yeah.
Is that a show?
It was. It was a very popular show in the, I mean, 70s. Yeah.
Can you even name any? I don't. It is.
If you said it, I might recognize one of them, but there's no way.
Will Greer.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
And Ellen Corby.
Nope.
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 Nope. All right. Someone out there listening to the show knew that, and I salute you.
Oh, yeah.
I wish you were here.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I can't even name a character on the show, The Waltons.
I can name John Boy.
Okay. Well, oh, yeah. I mean, I can name two. Grandma. and Grandpa.
Grandpa.
And now, apparently, John Boy.
That's their first names, yeah. Green Wedge for ads. Where is the, quote, Valley of the Jolly Green Giant? What a
It is on the solar-powered asteroid Green Bean.
Is it a real place?
It is a real place.
Okay.
You're never going to get it.
Oh, California. I don't know where.
I don't know if it's the canning plant or where they're growing the beans or their head corporate HQ is. It is La Sueur, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. No, I mean, I might be in there because I've heard of like the La Sueur peas. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. That's something to grab onto.
Maybe.
This is harder than Chris's hard quiz from last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, geez. All right. Woo-hoo-hoo. Last question, Orange Wedge for fair play. Who was the 1,783rd celebrity to be honored in Hollywood's Walk of Fame?
What? What? Just pull it out of nowhere?
The 1,773rd?
783rd.
Seven, oh, 780.
So 1783.
1783 celebrity.
Who was the 1,783rd celebrity to be honored in Hollywood's Walk of Fame?
Gosh.
It, like, if this were a good question, the number must clue into something.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Carrot Top.
Let's see. I don't know. I feel like it's either going to be some legendary name. I mean, I guess they got to be a legend by definition, but then
it
wouldn't.
Is Chuck Connors.
Oh, my God.
Okay, sure. The Rifleman.
Yes! Oh my God! Oh,
yeah.
You got that.
I know who Chuck Connors is, but that's just such a random answer. There's no.
Whoa.
What's the connection?
What an interesting man. Okay. He is one of only 13 athletes in the history of American professional sports to have played in both Major League Baseball and NBA and National Basketball Association.
Oh, I forgot that.
So we hear baseball and football.
Yeah, yeah.
But not baseball and basketball other than Michael Jordan. So what a strange question.
It's just kind of a so what. And it's like, okay.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's where, you know, the other thing, these for most of these questions, you know, at the time, this is something that you would have seen on TV a lot. You know what I mean? That, you know,
I just saw this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, brains. Ooh. Ho, ho, ho.
It just shows you how trivia is. Trivia is just like comedy, that it's like it's tied to a certain time and place, and the further away from it you get. But that's, you know, that's also why when they show, like, this is a test that kids in the 1800s had to take third grade, we're just so separated from that we've just moved on from having that stuff be common knowledge or even things that are even taught to children.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody.
So let's bring on the holiday cheer. Take us away, Trivia Santa.
'Twas the night before Christmas. Pop quizzes await. For the true Christmas nerds with knowledge so great. Not your usual questions, oh no, my friends. These queries dig deep where true experts wend.
Like, if you are a Christmas file, like, this is for you.
Inside some Christmas baseball. Yeah, yeah.
Inside Christmas baseball. Wow. Right. Get ready for these questions.
I mean, I'm just thinking, if you have to generate enough questions for a whole game,
yeah,
it's going to be deep.
Yeah,
deep cuts. Deep.
All right.
Everybody get your barnyard buzzers ready. Here we go. Oh, man.
All right.
All right.
Maybe we can do, I don't know.
Okay. Category is Christmas carols.
Okay.
All right.
In Good King
Wenceslaus.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Wenceslaus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What did the monarch looked out on?
Wow.
Oh.
He looked out. It's, at Colin.
It's okay. Good King Wenceslaus looked out on the Feast of Eden?
Stephen. On the Feast of Stephen.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I was running through the lyrics.
Okay. Is that how do you sing that song?
Good King Wenceslaus looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
Okay.
All the snow lay round about.
All right.
Chris and Stephen. Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And then nobody knows the rest.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's just forget about it.
Okay. All right. Next category. Good job. Stocking stuffers. Who wrote The Christmas Murder Mystery, Star Bright, A Christmas Story?
Oh.
Is it with a question mark at the end?
Question mark is for the question. Oh, okay. Sorry.
She will read anything on the card.
Murder Mystery, Star Bright, A Christmas Story.
Wow.
Chris.
Agatha Christie.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Colin.
Ellery Queen.
Incorrect. Chris again.
Agatha Christmas.
Nice. Yeah.
No, it is Andrew M. Greeley.
Well.
Okay.
All right. Good for him.
Yeah. Right. Deep cut.
All right.
Next category. Holiday traditions. Who is credited with the 1903 creation of Christmas seals?
Oh,
Christmas seals.
I don't know if it's arf-arf seals or like a wax.
Like a sticker.
Could this be the president at the time?
That's who I think it was.
Okay.
I think it
was the first president of the...
McKinley was right around the turn of the century.
1903.
Oh, wait. No, or am I thinking of March of Dimes?
Yeah, they have Christmas seals.
All right, we got to come up with something here. 1903.
McKinley.
Incorrect. What? It is Danish postmaster.
Oh, my God.
Einar Holbol.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right.
So, who do you play this game with? This is for. Is this for children?
This is for this is for the real serious Christmas geeks.
Yeah,
this is the advanced edition.
I mean, at least one existed in order to make this game.
Right. So,
yeah. All right. Next category: Christmas movies. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, what does Lucy want for Christmas? Wow, Chris.
Real estate.
Correct.
Thank you.
Nice. Okay.
She's savvy.
Yeah.
All right. Last category, North Pole. What were Donner and Blixen's name in the 1823 publication of A Visit from St. Nicholas? Colin.
I'm going to guess Donder and Blitzen, the original, or Dunder and Blitzen.
You got Dunder right, so it's not
Mifflin.
Donner. It's Dunder.
Dunder and Mifflin. No, it is. Yeah, it's Dunder and...
It's not Blixen.
Blixen.
Or Blitzen.
No, she was asking about Blixen.
No, Blixen. Oh, wait.
It is. So.
Yeah.
What were Donner and Blixen's name?
Yeah.
In the original. Okay.
So in the original, it's Dunder and Blixem.
Oh.
With an M.
Oh.
Okay. Dunder,
right. Blixem.
Oh,
Dunder.
Dunder.
Dunder and Mifflin.
Do you guys want to do another one since it's Christmas time?
Yeah, okay, sure.
They're not that fun, but yes.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Okay. Christmas carols. In the 12 days of Christmas, what did my true love send to me on the 8th day? Wow.
Yeah.
You buzz first, and then you.
That's what he always says.
Well, yeah, because you know, I know I'm going to get this.
I was just like, Chris buzz. I was.
It's eight maids a milking.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Stocking stuffers. Who wrote the? Why are there so many Christmas murder mystery? All right. Who wrote the Christmas murder mystery? Cat in the Golden Garland. Colin.
Ellery Queen.
Incorrect. None of the names.
Okay.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle?
No, it is Carol Nelson Douglas.
Okay. Who are these people that you just went to like Half Price Books and like looked at lots all the Christmas?
I bet whoever created this game has like a murder mystery collection.
Christmas theme.
We're working on a tight deadline.
Yeah.
All right. Holiday traditions in Norway. When are church bells rung to welcome the spirit of Christmas?
What day and what time? And where?
Spirit of Norway.
Welcome.
December 24th at midnight, or midnight between the 24th and 25th.
It is on Christmas Eve, so it is December 24th. You have to guess the time.
We have to guess the time. Oh, okay.
Oh, but it's not midnight.
It's not midnight.
Okay.
Noon.
No, it is 5 p.m.
Oh, great. Well, we would have got it eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe we would have if we like didn't go into the minutes.
It's
like
6:34. That would have been.
All right, Christmas movies. What do all the murder victims?
What is up with this dude and their Christmas murders?
What do all the murder victims in "Don't Open Till Christmas" have in common?
What do all the
I didn't buzz. I just like flinched my buzzer.
Colin.
I'm going to guess they were all Santa Clauses.
They were all wearing Santa suits.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. I was going to guess like the murderer like stuffed candy canes in the victim's nostrils.
As a macabre, festive
calling card.
But like a moth, but it's a candy cane.
Right.
Oh, that's actually not bad. All right. Last question. North Pole. From a time in England, Father Christmas delivered presents riding what?
Riding on a?
What animal did he?
Chris.
Thestral.
No.
Oh.
No.
Hippogriff.
Yeah. Oh.
Was it a bear?
Nope.
A horse?
Nope. It is a white donkey.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that. I've seen a picture of that drawing. Yeah.
Are all donkeys? No, donkeys are not white, right?
That's why it's magical.
Oh, it's a magical white donkey. Yeah. Got it. Right.
It's like Shadowfax.
Shadow donkey.
Yeah. Oh. Go, white donkey.
Deliver these presents for me.
In those days, he doesn't have the team of eight reindeer. He has the one donkey because he only has to circumnavigate, like, England.
That's true.
Confined to a very small area.
It's not all over the world.
Yeah.
He's got a solid ground game. That's.
All right. Good job, Reigns. Good job on our Christmas pop quiz. Oof. That was pretty hard. A lot of people
died.
That
was tough. It was tough. Yeah. Lots of murders. Really high body count on that quiz. You know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas?
Yes.
Right. So what is the 12th and last day of Christmas?
Oh. Is it Christmas Day?
No, I don't think it is. I think it continues into the new year.
Yeah,
like, I remember at my house, like, my mom would kind of tongue-in-cheek be like, oh, we don't need to take the Christmas tree down.
Oh, right. No, yeah, your mom was actually correct.
She was actually correct
that you can keep going because people celebrated Christmas starting on Christmas Day and then into the new year. So I did not know this. I always thought the 12 days of Christmas started, like, 12 days prior to Christmas Day.
Counting down to Christmas Day, and they were just getting ahead start
or whatever. The 12th day traditionally was January 6th. That supposedly was like the day that I think that Jesus met the wise men, you know, like he was born and then a few days later. It's the day of the Epiphany.
Okay.
It's like the day that Christians were awoken to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that sort of thing.
So are you supposed to do something on the actual 12th day, like a special celebration or a meal? Or
yeah. Well, there's a Shakespeare play about it.
The 12th night?
12th night.
Oh.
And that's the night of January 5th before 12th day or January 6th.
What do you do?
So they have like 12, I don't know, you probably eat a bunch of food and get drunk.
You know, like every holiday.
Yeah, like whatever.
There's
Lords
a leaping.
But that's, no, yeah, exactly.
Everywhere.
There's 12, what is it, 12, is oh, it 12 drummers? Is it 12, 10 Lords a leaping, 9 ladies dancing?
Oh, man.
What is it, 12?
Karen's furiously looking it up right now.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. We're so embarrassed.
Drummers drumming.
11 ladies dancing? No. Nine ladies dancing. What is it?
Piping.
Okay.
I knew the pipers were in there somewhere.
They're somewhere. Yeah. So it takes a while before you get to the drummers. Right.
You got the pipers, and then you have the drums, and now it's the real party.
Yep. Well, you got the bass section. Yeah.
But
the rhythm section.
You get all these rando birds. come in.
Tons of birds.
Well, they've been there the whole time.
So interesting part about the birds, too, that I found out while I was looking at 12 Days of Christmas. It's actually not for calling birds, which is what everybody sings.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Originally, it was for collie birds. Oh. C-O-L-L-Y. And a collie bird, collie is an old English word
for
an old word. No,
it's
not for calling. Yeah. So it's for calling birds. No, it's an old word meaning black. So it's just blackbirds.
Oh.
And then because the word fell out of favor, people kept singing it. Mm. They thought, oh, it must be calling, like, you know, bird calls. They're just singing about regular blackbirds that make no noise. Whoa. Or go like, rah!
But hold your excitement, for there's something quite stark. For midwinter festivities, the secret ingredient is shark. Ha Carl will wake you up. It's a fermented affair. It made Gordon Ramsay puke, so try it if you dare.
So, Dana, you had mentioned earlier lutefisk, which is the Scandinavian fish covered in lye and sort of semi-fermented. I have a sort of related dish that I would like to talk about that's even one step beyond that in terms of craziness. This is the traditional Icelandic dish of hakarl.
Hakarl.
H-A-K-A-R-L. Hakarl.
Hakarl.
Which is essentially fermented shark. But the process is a little nuts. Okay. So hakarl is made with the Greenland shark. And the way you make the dish is you catch the Greenland shark first. So it assumes you have a Greenland shark.
It looks like that's the hardest part.
Step one,
acquire Greenland shark. Take the shark, you gut it, you clean it, cut off the head. You bury it in a hole in the ground, cover it up with dirt, and then you wait 2 to 3 months while it decomposes and putrefies.
Yep.
You come back, you dig it up, you take what's now sort of the remains of the putrefied shark meat. All the liquids would have drained off into this time and have been absorbed into the soil. You hang it up, you let it dry, and after it's dried, it sort of has this brownish rind on it. You cut off the rind, you chop it up into cubes, and then you eat it. And that's hakarl. Now, here's where it gets weird. This is reported to be... That was the normal part. Okay. That was the normal part of this dish. It's reputed to be the worst-smelling food on the planet.
Oh, okay. I bet.
We've talked about durian. We've talked about lutefisk. This dish may actually take the cake for the most foul presentation. And part of the reason it's so foul has to do with the shark itself. So Greenland shark on its own is poisonous. If you eat it fresh, it would kill you because it has ridiculously high concentrations of urea, which is, it's what gives urine the ammonia smell. When it combines with water, urea turns into ammonia smell. A compound called TMAO, which is basically what breaks down into rotting fish smell. Huh. Like when fish goes bad, you're smelling TMAO that has converted. So the Greenland shark is high in both of these, so you can't eat it right away. Like there are stories that if you eat it fresh, you can vomit blood. So what the fermentation does is it breaks down these compounds to make them safer to eat. When you eat it, it smells like urine.
So here's a question.
Yes.
Why even eat it at all?
Why? Well, you know, there are a number of theories that range from this is just a joke to be played on foreigners when they come to Iceland.
I could see getting as far as burying the shark so you never have to think about it again. It's the part 3 months later where somebody's like, hey, Ivan, you remember that shark we buried? Do you want to dig it up and hang it in the garage for whatever?
This is a traditional dish really associated with a midwinter festival in Iceland called the Thorsablot, named after Thor. So there is just a bevy of awesome, awesome quotes about hakarl. And this dish actually has the distinction of it's got the golden trio of celebrity chefs. Anthony Bourdain has covered it on his show.
Andrew Zimmern
has covered it on his show. Gordon Ramsay tried to eat it. Gordon Ramsay famously spit it back up, vomited it. Even he couldn't keep it down. Anthony Bourdain said it is, quote, the single worst, most disgusting, and terrible tasting thing he's ever eaten. And Anthony Bourdain has eaten a lot of things. Here's some quotes from other people. It's a little like a tuna fish sandwich that's been sitting on the bottom of your lunch bag for 3 weeks. It resembles a tramp sock soaked in urine. It tastes like someone pooped in your mouth after a bender.
Oh, jeez. Yuck.
And every guide I've read, you know, is like, if you're going to go try this for the first time, it warns you, be prepared to vomit, be prepared to drink heavily, just know what you're getting yourself into.
The pee you can chew.
The lights may sparkle, a festive display, but danger lurks if precautions sway. So gather round, let's talk safety tonight, for a joyful holiday, all merry and bright.
Yes, it is the holiday season. Woo! And that means that I just wanted to talk about a gift that you should not give to yourself and that you should not give to other people.
Whoa!
It's the holiday season. That means that, all around America, hardware stores are going to start hanging up some festive holiday signage. The typical holiday sign that they're going to hang up at, Home Depot or Ace Hardware as a little illustration of a product that people typically want to buy during the holiday season. And below that product, that image, that illustration is usually written something that goes a little bit like this. These are not made. These should never be made. We will not make them. We will not help you make one. Okay, well, what? This sign seems to mean business. What is this product? Why are people asking for it? It is, put simply, if you can picture this in your head, a male-to-male power cord. Both ends of the cable.
Like two plugs?
Yeah, like both ends of the cable are a plug that you plug into the wall, and the other end is another plug that you plug into the wall. And... yeah, you cannot buy this at hardware stores. I recently discovered, actually around this time last year, that these signs showing one of these saying, get out of here if you want one of these, go up every holiday season because there is a big surge in interest for them around this time. And why is that? Well, typically this is what happens. You, like Clark Griswold, go up onto the roof of your home and you hang about 500 feet of Christmas lights up there. Uh-huh. And Santa and the reindeer and everything. Then once that's all, stapled in and secure and, it's not going anywhere and it's really fixed to your roof, you climb down the, ladder that's kind of like precariously leaning up against the side of your house with like
really
one
setting
foot
the like scene.
A hole, you're finally done, right? You've been up on your literal roof this whole time, like risking your life, and you go over, you're gonna plug the strand of light into the outlet and light the pole place up, and you look down at your hand and you're holding the female end of the cord.
The holes
and
end.
The holes end of the cords, and the male end is somewhere up near your chimney, like stapled up there.
You put them in backwards.
Oh, they do it wrong.
That people will do it backwards accidentally. And so at this point, if you don't really know that much about electricity, you think, oh, sure, no problem. I just need an adapter. Just like you need USB to USB micro, whatever. I just need an adapter. A dongle. I just need a dongle that plugs in the male end and goes in here. And then I'll plug the male end into my wall. And then bing, bang, boom, I got my adapter. problem solved. Actually, no. For like many reasons. So I'm talking about this, by the way, because I think as some of you guys may have seen, I actually tweeted about this last year in 2020. On Twitter, I showed some examples of these signs because I could find many of them. So I showed like four examples of these. We don't make this sign. And the tweet like kind of went viral that year, and then this year with me doing nothing, it came back again. It just seems like every holiday season this tweet is going to come back on me because people are very interested in in this and the fact that this sort of just happens. I just thought to myself, let me bring this onto the show, because I plugged the show under the tweet, plugged the show. There's another one. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to promote your SoundCloud, right? When the tweet goes viral. But I'm like, I should actually talk about this on Good Job Brain. Now, I learned something interesting. Before we go into too much detail here, I learned something interesting in the replies to this tweet, which is that Christmas lights do not necessarily work in other countries the way that we do them in America. Because people are actually very confused. They're like, what do you mean the female end of the Christmas lights? If you're a non-American listening to the show right now and you're a little confused about this, yes, our strands of lights that you buy and you put on your house and stuff like that, or even that you put on your Christmas tree, Christmas lights generally have a male plug at one end that you plug into the wall and a female plug at the other end
And we can daisy chain our strands of lights together to cover our gigantic American houses. Now, you might think, gee, isn't that like dangerous? Like, won't that like overload the circuit if you do it too many times? And the answer is no, because what a lot of people don't know is that each of those strands of lights actually has a fuse in it. At the female end, fuses in the strands. So if something were to get overloaded, you wouldn't overload the whole thing and cause a big fire. The fuse would blow. So with that in mind, now we get to, well, why can't Ace Hardware sell me, you know, a male-to-male power cord? Well, the first danger here is basic electrical safety, because the reason the plugs are designed as they are is that the electricity is deep inside your wall, not out. That's why there's no plugs sticking out from outside your wall and you plug them to the other end. The electricity is in there. So you put the prongs inside in there. And then it meets the electricity versus it just being out. You plug this, you plug one of these things in, and now the electricity is all outside of the wall, and it's just...
Yeah. Just open and exposed.
Because people ask this question on Twitter, it's like, why is this dangerous? It's like, imagine if you had a taser, but it was floppy and always on and...
Yeah. At ankle height in your living room.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why some people very morbidly call this cable a suicide cable. It's super dangerous. And back to the Christmas lights. Now, okay, so let's say that you were really super careful. You still shouldn't do this. If you were really super careful and you plug the, you know, into your Christmas lights and plug it into the wall, well, you've now kind of lost the protection of all those chains of fuses, because the fuses are at the wrong end of the whole thing. And so all you want to do is, it's like, this is what some of these signs are like. If you need this adapter, you put your lights up wrong. You don't need this adapter. It doesn't exist. What you need is a big extension cord.
For the other end.
Or you need to restring your Christmas lights. But if you want to get a big extension cord and do it that way, you can do that. So some of the replies to this tweet said something to the effect of, oh, well, I actually do use one of those, because that's how I plug my generator into the house's electrical system. You know, if you have a portable backup, you know, generator, you can plug it into your home using one of those cables. And I'm sure there's a lot of them out there being used for that purpose. You know, you have a generator, you plug one end in, you plug one end into an outlet in your house, and it, quote unquote, backfeeds the electricity backwards into your house. Instead of it coming from the power line, you're putting the electricity into your house the other way. Yes. So you can do that. It's illegal everywhere in the United States. You can do it. And the reason, I mean, one of the reasons why is because if somebody is, let's say the power goes down, right? Okay, I'll plug my generator into the wall and start sending electricity through my house that way. Now the power line guy goes up in the power lines. Well, the power lines are dead, so he's going to fix it. Oh, oops, you're sending electricity through, because it's leaving your house and going to the power lines. Oh, also, God. Now you zap that guy and he dies.
Yikes.
So, but people are like, oh, well, you know, then I'll shut off the main breaker. It's like, yeah, okay. Like, I guess if you do that, but it's like, then you have to, you know, make sure you do. So there is a way to have a backup generator for your home, but like it involves like what's called a transfer switch, which takes away all of these, you know, sort of uncertainties and
dangers
and things like that. Yeah. And so the thing is, you can go. If you go to Amazon, you can buy a male-to-male power cord.
Oh, my God.
I would not.
I thought you said places don't make them.
So responsible places do not make them. But there are sellers on Amazon that will sell you a lot of stuff that...
you can't buy in a store.
I looked at all the reviews for it. The first review for the first one that I saw, 5 out of 5 stars, good for pools. I plug one end into my home outlet and I put the other end into my pool to kill all the frogs.
Oh, God.
To kill all the frogs. So, Oh my God!
So the holidays bring a bounty of gifts. Let's make sure that one of them is not a suicide cord. Also, important PSA, there were so many people who responded to this tweet who were like, I worked at a hardware store and I constantly had to deal with people like yelling at me, telling me that these did exist and that they just know more than me. And I'm like, it could kill you. And they're like, no, not me. You know, it's like, yeah, yes, you.
I'm the electron charmer. I know what I'm doing.
Right, right. Yeah, precisely. God. Right, right. Yeah.
Well, so now I'm curious, Chris, you alluded to this. So have other countries solved this problem in a more sophisticated way than we have?
And yes, in a lot of cases, if you do have strands of lights that connect together, they just have special proprietary plugs on the other side, so you can only connect them to other strands of lights.
So okay. less confusing.
Or they just don't have them. Yeah. Be careful out there, everybody.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, hardware store employees, keeping ourselves safe.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
Thing done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
Gather round, my kin, for this curious show of strange family names from long, long ago. Not just aunt and uncle or cousin or brother, but monikers lost in time, unique like no other.
Kind of following up on what Colin said, you lived with your family, and your family was very important before. Like, it's important now, but before, like, everybody was up in your grill all the time.
Right.
So there were very specific names, other names members of your family.
Yeah.
I have a quiz for you guys.
Because you were just constantly, like, you know, your cousin might sleep in the same bed with you or whatever,
and,
right?
And, yeah. Like,
you gotta know who that person is.
Right.
How everybody's related to you is important.
Yep.
And... So that's a little clue for you. I have a quiz for you about family members, specific names of family members. I'll read you the name or the word for this family member, and then you guys will write down your guess at how this person would be related to you.
Oh, okay. Got it. We're going to try to describe it as best we can.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
First one. Who is your brother uterine?
right off the bat, out of the gate.
I mean, I want to keep your interest. Try
brother uterine.
How do you
brother
spell that?
Brother uterine.
Brother hyphen U-T-E-R-I-N-E. Yeah.
Uterine.
Yep.
Is that like pee?
You decide where that came from. Not brother urine.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Chris says twin. Karen says twin brother. Colin says you're twin. No.
Oh.
It is your half brother from the same mother.
Okay.
That line because I was like uterus. Yes.
Got
it.
Yeah.
Got it.
You're in the right. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of meaning condensed in there.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. Got it. All right. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Who is your avuncle?
Spell it.
Can
I have the spelling, please?
Sure, yes. It is A-V-U-N-C-L-E.
Wow, what?
All right. Chris says great uncle. Karen says dad's brother. Colin says uncle on dad's side. It's your mom's brother.
Oh! Yes.
Inverse.
Yeah.
We were both thinking the same thing. Yeah, it's uncle, but specified.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
Who is your double cousin?
Oh, man.
Double cousin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm adding a question mark onto all of them.
Yeah. Yep. They're weird. Colin says great aunt / uncle's grandchild. Karen says step sibling. Chris says child of 2 blood relatives. Kind of. It is your full cousin. So you share the same set of grandparents as your cousin.
Okay.
So it's like some sisters married some brothers.
Yeah.
And then their children are double cousins.
So your actual cousin.
Yeah. First your cousin has the exact same grandparents you have.
Got it.
Oh.
Like a closed set. A closed pairs.
Closed loop. Closed set. Yeah.
Okay.
Two sisters marry two brothers. Your cousins have this. You have the same grandparents.
You're double cousins.
Double cousin.
Because from both
you're
sides
so
of the family.
You're so cousin. You're double cousin.
You are so cousin.
Okay.
That's so cousin.
Yeah.
Colin, stop trying to make cousin happen.
Who is your bell sire?
Goodness.
Your bell, B-E-L-L, dash, S-I-R-E.
It's B-E-L-S-I-R-E.
Oh, B-E-L. Yeah. Oh, so just one word.
Mm-hmm. One word.
B-E-L-S-I-R-E.
Wow.
Bell sire.
These words are out, you know, they're obscure, outdated words. Yeah. All right. Colin says, your mother's father... Karen says, aunt and uncle.
Married. Like a pair, okay. not.
And Chris says, your mom's new husband. It is your grandfather. So it's your mother's or your father's father. So
I overspecified.
It's like Belle is great or grand.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then sire.
Of course.
These are great words.
Yeah.
Kicking our butts.
It's okay. It's all right. What about your eld mother? E-L-D-M-O-T-H-E-R. Colin says, grandmother on your mom's side.
Oh.
Karen says, grandmother on your dad's side. And Chris says, your mom's mom. It is.
That's more of a, escalating the insult.
Yeah.
You know, your mom's mom. Double dare you.
It is your mother-in-law.
Eld mother.
Eld
mother. Ooh, okay.
We probably don't want to say that to her face, though.
Because it makes her kind of sounds old. Like old mother.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Still hanging in there, old mother?
Oh, old mother, so great to see you.
Stop like, calling me that.
It's very like,
I do not enjoy this name.
Fairy tale stereotype.
It does sound very Cinderella-ish. Yeah.
Yep.
Who are your nibblings?
Your nibblings?
Nibblings.
Yes.
N-I-B-L-I-N-G-S?
Yes.
Okay.
They're not the corn left on your plate.
Your nibblings.
Nibblings.
Oh, all right.
Everybody says nieces and nephews. They are your nieces and nephews.
Yes!
All right.
Good job. I almost want to end on a high note, but there are two more that are good.
But there's more.
There are two more that I enjoy.
So siblings and nibblings.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so pleasing to say.
Yeah, it's nibblings. Really fun. I don't know why we stopped saying that one. It's good.
Yes.
Who is your Benjamin?
Oh.
Whoa.
Your Benjamin.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like Benjamin Franklin, like mm-hmm. Benjamin.
With a capital B. Yep. Benjamin. If you know about the Bible, that helps. Mm-hmm. It is a biblical reference.
Oh.
But it describes a very specific family member. Chris looks pretty confident.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Now I know.
Yeah, I think I got this.
Thanks, musical.
Oh, okay.
All right. Colin says older brother. Karen says youngest son. Chris says your 100th kid. It's your youngest son.
Yes!
And if you only had 100 kids, then it is your 100th kid. If you had 101, that's not right. Okay.
You know, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten to there, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of last question. It's a double question. If something was described as an agnate or a cognate, which one's mother's side, which one's father's side, basically?
Ooh. Cognate and agnate.
Cognate. Yeah. I mean...
Cognate.
I just know that, like, Agnes is... More
Agnet mom, cognate dad.
I agree with Karen. Yeah, I'm gonna say Agnet mom, cognate dad.
Flipped.
Oh
my god.
I'm gonna start trying to use as many of those as I can.
Definitely.
You should. Hey, nibblings.
Yeah.
For decades on end, under trees and in stores, Barbie has been a top gift that children adore. But the doll's history can be pretty dramatic. When her accessories prove to be quite problematic.
I have assembled for you two a quiz all about Barbie and Barbie accessories.
I see.
Now, this is not just about Barbie accessories, but I've got a special emphasis on misfires and recalls and other assorted Barbie universe controversies. This will be a write down quiz. There will be points awarded on every question, starting with the correct answer and then to most correct. And then if neither of you are particularly close, I will award a point to my favorite answer. It is anybody's game here. Here we go. Spanning the years, the decades. Barbie's been around for a very long time. We got, I learned a lot assembling this quiz. I'm just going to say that at the top here. All right, here we go. First question. In 2006, Mattel released the Barbie and Tanner set. The next year, it was recalled from stores after complaints about loose magnets in the accessories for this kit. For 2 points, who or what is Tanner in Barbie and Tanner? And what was the magnet-powered accessory
that caused
all these problems?
Interesting.
And what year was this?
This was 2006. Okay, Barbie and Tanner. Yeah. Who or what is Tanner? And what was the accessory?
Oh, man.
Tanner is such an all-purpose name. Do you know what I mean? It can be anything.
It really could. It really could.
Were people like swallowing them? Because like Buckyballs got recalled. Okay.
Okay. All right. Answers up. Answers up. Karen says Tanner is a dog and the accessory is a dog collar. Chris says, ooh, Tanner was a horse and the accessories were magnetic horseshoes. Ooh.
It's like Barbie learns how to shoe a horse, you know what I mean? She's pounding the nails in or it's got the magnets. And
instead of the Barbie dream house, it's the Barbie dream stable, kind of like My Little Pony stable.
That would absolutely, man, great, great answers. Tanner was, in fact, Barbie's dog. So point to Karen, point to Karen there. And the problematic accessory was, so, you know, it came with a dog and other dog-related things.
Oh my God, is it poop?
It was a little magnetic poop scooper that Barbie held. And so she had a little stick, it was magnetic on the end, and it came with little, you know, you were supposed to pick up Tanner's tiny little magnetic doggy turd, basically. And parents, apparently, some parents said that the magnets could come loose. Not clear if anybody actually swallowed them, but yeah, that was kind of the concern was, hey, we cannot have these little.
So it is a Buckyballs sort of situation, basically.
I mean, and if I was a kid, I would put one of the little doggy turds in my mouth. Sure. I mean, yeah, wouldn't, I mean, a little brown Tic Tac.
Don't put magnets in your mouth, kids.
Yeah, please. Seriously, do not put magnets in your mouth, kids. Yeah, it is. Yeah, for real. For real. All right. So we'll give 2 points to Karen there for a dog and dog collar. All right. In 1992, Mattel released Teen Talk Barbie. Talk Barbie. This was actually this one you might remember this one.
I do.
Teen Talk Barbie rubbed many parents and educators the wrong way. For what reason? Why did Teen Talk Barbie get on the wrong side of authority figures? When you are ready.
You emphasize the word rub.
Don't read too much into it. Chris seems pretty confident here.
Yes.
Yeah, this one was in the news. Kind of turned some people off. All right, answers up. When you are ready, Chris says,
all right, first top three joke answers to this. Number one, spelled out all of the ingredients and how to make a Molotov cocktail. Number two, wished for the reformation of the USSR. Number three, I don't know. No, the actual answer is when button was pressed, Barbie said, math is tough.
What?
Chris, 100% correct. Yes, math that's right. Tough. Parents, teachers were really not happy with this. I mean, for one reason, you don't want to be coming down on math. But for two, it also kind of played into the stereotype of, you know, Barbie and kind of girls in general maybe not being good at math.
The wrong way.
Mattel actually eventually allowed parents to exchange their Barbies if they were not happy with it for a version that did not have the math is tough phrase.
Oh, so they did release another version, mm-hmm. not like yep. exchange it for another Barbie.
Yeah. Mattel's president at the time, she said, in hindsight, the phrase math class is tough, while correct for many students, both male and female, should not have been included.
Mm.
Math class is tough.
Math class is tough.
Yeah. In 1961, Barbie was gifted a very special accessory by the name of Ken.
I get the joke.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah. She didn't have a boyfriend for those first couple of years there. I learned as an aside here, I didn't know that in the Barbie universe, did you know Barbie and Ken broke up for a few years there? In the early 2000s. Yeah. Really? Barbie and Ken broke up, and Barbie was, you know, rumored to be kind of caught the eye of a Australian boogie boarder named Blaine in the Barbie universe. A lot of drama. Ken and Barbie, they did eventually get back together a few years later. Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't stay away from Ken forever.
Yeah, well, I mean, she found out that Blaine didn't have genitals either, so.
You know, when I was a kid, I noticed that they didn't have genitals, and I would draw them in with the mark.
Good for you. Good for you. Fixing what Mattel would not.
All right. So there's a question buried in here somewhere, I promise. So here is the question for you guys. All right. The original Ken was redesigned to address a problematic part of his body.
Okay.
What part of Ken's body was redesigned after the original release of the doll?
And you're not telling us why.
I am not telling you why. You can speculate on why. If you look up a photo of the original Ken, let's just say modern day Ken looks a lot cooler than original flavor Ken. I'll just say that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Answers up. Karen says they redesigned Ken's hair. Chris says they redesigned Ken's belly button. Oh, that's good. Right. They had to reveal that he was not a clone. Karen, right on the money. It was his hair. It was his hair, apparently. So, and you can see this in some of the pictures. So Ken, the original Ken doll, the hair was a separate piece glued on top of his head. All right.
Oh, okay.
And, it kind of came off a little bit too easy, and Ken would look a little kind of scruffy there with his head pulled off.
But was it like Barbie where it's like strands of hair?
No, it kind of looked
like plastic.
It kind of looked more like a Brillo pad, honestly. So they redesigned Ken's hair to basically just be, it was just molded into his head, and they just painted
it.
Yeah, so it didn't come off anymore. Yeah. All right, moving right along here to 1975. Now, of course, beyond Barbie and Ken, the universe started getting bigger and bigger with Barbie's friends and, you know, family members, including Skipper. There have been many versions of Skipper over the years. 1975 saw the debut of Growing Up Skipper, was rather quickly discontinued because of what controversial feature? Growing Up Skipper, not available for very long.
Feature on the doll?
Yes. Okay. What? Yes.
Not,
what?
Not like a feature with an accessory. That's probably
Right. Yeah. Maybe the doll did something, or it was not your ordinary Skipper. All right. Answers up when you are ready. Chris says boobs inflated, deflated. Karen has just written boobs. I'm going to give you both the point on that one. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'll give Chris a half point here, maybe.
This is the first time I'm writing boobs, like, not on a calculator.
Growing Up Skipper was advertised as, quote, two dolls in one, because you could make Skipper, grow from a young girl to a teenager in seconds. And in practice, how this worked was if you rotated her arm, her waist got longer and her boobs got bigger. Yes, I am not making this up. Maybe understandably, again, many parents said, no, this is not really appropriate. we do not want to see Growing Up Skipper. Perhaps too many conversations we're not ready to have. So yeah, Growing Up Skipper, discontinued. If you happen to have one on your shelf somewhere, probably worth a lot of money.
This sounds like this is some really good engineering for that time in the toy industry.
You know, it's really true. Yeah, you go back and you read almost any of these like action figure and doll lines, like the G.I. Joes or the Barbies or again, I alluded to the He-Man figures later on. They had some really, really good construction and good design. Yeah, it was serious business. Barbie herself has had many careers over the decades, all these careers, just so many opportunities for accessories. I mean, she's been everything from an astronaut to a doctor to a chef. In 2010, Barbie became a computer engineer. Mm-hmm. In fact, Mattel released a Barbie book entitled Barbie, I Can Be a Computer Engineer. Now, again, keeping with the theme here, Mattel eventually had to discontinue this book. They pulled it from stores after complaints. What? Why was the book Barbie, I Can Be a Computer Engineer, controversial? What caused, again, what rubbed people the wrong way? I'm just going to say, sometimes people, companies, you fall into the same traps over and over again. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay, all right.
All right, answers up. Let's see what we got here. I'm looking forward to see what you guys got on this one here. All right, Chris says Barbie was shown mishandling classified documents. Karen has written sexist workplace.
Oh,
I'm going to give Karen the point there.
I'm just guessing.
I'm going to give Karen the point there.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, actually, so the book was actually available for a little while here before it surfaced on the internet. Of course, in the book, talking about being a computer engineer, Barbie says, quote, I'm only creating the design ideas. I'll need Steven's and Brian's help to turn it into a real game.
Oh,
I feel like
no.
I heard about this, but oh, that's so much worse than I remember.
It's almost like they're going out of their way not to learn the lesson here. It's like, come on, this is meant to be an empowering toy, or at least neutral. You didn't, we're not going backward here. 2010. Wow. So yeah, I mean, again, like they pulled it. There was an ebook version on, Amazon pulled that one. Couldn't buy it anymore. Yeah. Get back to the drawing
board.
They're trying. In 2002, retail giant Walmart refused to stock. It didn't even reach the recall stage. Walmart said, we will not sell a Barbie set from the Happy Family collection featuring Barbie's best friend, Midge. All right. Who had been in, I guess, some other collections earlier.
Yeah.
She had been well established. Why were Walmart and many parents, I might add, upset with this Midge? What did Midge do? What was their problem with Midge in the Happy Family collection? Oh. It was an idea that Mattel thought was good enough to make and Walmart thought was not good enough to sell. And it was ultimately discontinued, maybe in no small part because Walmart wouldn't sell it. All right, answers up. Karen says pregnant. Chris says Midge was great with child. Yes. You guys both got the right answer there.
Okay.
First of all, I want to emphasize Midge was married. Her husband, Alan, was part of the Happy Family collection.
Okay.
In the Happy, it was mommy and baby. And Midge was pregnant.
Does the baby come out?
With a removable baby. Yes.
Nice.
You could pull the baby out of Midge's belly, womb, body. And then it was an infant. And in the collection, Barbie was Dr. Barbie. So you could take the infant to Dr. Barbie, for infant checkups. But Walmart and many parents felt that Midge looked too young to be having a baby.
Okay.
And they were concerned that it could be taken as a depiction of teen pregnancy and said, we're not going to stock it. We're not going to dance on that line.
I see now.
I thought it was the tiny plastic placenta that was
in it. Me too.
I figured that was going to be the thing. That
little rubber band umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, magnets umbilical
magnets
cord.
On the placenta. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, they would stick to the doggy turds. You don't want that. Right. It's just not sanitary. Okay, we're gonna wind the quiz down here. I got a couple here that are maybe not so much about the accessories themselves, but I'm going to give you guys a chance to do some closest to the mark here kind of questions. All right. 2020 was a presidential election year, and not for the first time, Barbie ran for president. This is going to be a closest to the mark question here. How many times has Barbie run for president? I will say they do theme it with presidential election years. 2020 was not the first time, so at least two. How many times has Barbie run for president? Hmm. All right, Chris and Karen. Oh. Karen says 3 times. Chris says 10 times. Barbie has been on the ticket 7 times since 1992. So point to Chris. Very tight game here. The first time Barbie ran for president was 92. Perhaps stung by her defeat, she sat out the 96 election, but came back strong with a renewed sense of purpose in 2000 and has run every 4 years. Yeah, since 2000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right. Final point on the line. We'll frame this last question as kind of a mini version of one of my favorite personal segments from Good Job Brain, Brad Pitt or lasers.
Ooh.
The format of this question is going to be a which came first, all right? Mm-hmm. Featuring some bona fide American classics here. And I would say, in my opinion, Barbie's most glamorous accessory. Which came first? Barbie's Little Pink Corvette,
yeah.
Or the Prince single, Little Red Corvette.
Did she have other cars too?
There is a rich history of Barbie's cars. Yeah, over the years, she's had multiple Corvettes, first of all.
Yeah.
She's had a Ferrari, she's had a Porsche, she's had a Mercedes-Benz, she's had a Jeep. She's Barbie rides in style. All right, which came first?
I have Little Red Corvette trivia, which I can tell you after.
Chris has written...
Oh, here we go.
Chris has written Barbie, Pink Corvette. Karen has written Prince. All right, I love it. We got the showdown. Mm. Prince's Little Red Corvette, released as a single in 1983, taken from the album 1999, which was released in 1982. Okay. Yes. The single released the following year. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Barbie's Star Vet debuted in 1976.
Oh,
1976 was Barbie's first Corvette.
Oh, so closer than I thought. I thought the Corvette was maybe even earlier, but I guess not.
No. Yeah, it was closer than I thought. Yeah. And I should say here, it was strictly speaking not pink. It was purple and pink, but you know, close enough here. They are generally pink when they give them to her. All right. Well, we tied it up there. Chris,
all right.
Good job. Pulled it out at the end. You guys know your Barbie. You know your dog turds. You know your Corvettes. you know your growing up skipper. And perhaps you two can someday go work for Mattel and have a Barbie accessory that is recalled or controversial.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope. Never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's triviality.
But what's this I smell? A deep-fried surprise. Not cookies or cocoa, but breasts and thighs. Golden and crunchy, a Kentucky sensation. A Christmas tradition that is delightfully Asian.
Talking about meats, I did not grow up with eating goose, ham, beef, whatever. I grew up eating fried chicken for Ooh. Christmas.
Okay.
And this is a very common thing. Very common in Japan.
Yes.
The Christmas tradition in Japan and other countries, but really mostly from Japan, is you eat not only fried chicken, you eat KFC for Christmas.
Aww.
China is the second largest market for KFC, and Japan is number three. U.S. is obviously number one. So KFC has a really, really strong presence in Asia. And Christmas isn't a national holiday. It's celebrated in the marketing sense.
Like, right.
Pictures of reindeers. Yeah. But like, especially...
It's the commercial part of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Christmas in Japan is like another Valentine's Day, basically. It's like for couples, and you like get a Christmas cake, or you like go out on a date and get dinner at Christmas.
Only 1% of the Japanese population is estimated to be Christian.
Right.
Okay. So they're not really
celebrating. There's no tradition there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not celebrating the religious aspect of it.
Yep.
So how did this start? The legend is when a group of foreigners or expats or Americans who were in Japan on Christmas Day couldn't find turkey because there's you can't really buy turkey, they decided to eat fried chicken instead. And then that kind of started becoming a thing. So a lot of foreigners on Christmas Day would get chicken.
Mm.
And then KFC is like, wait a minute, this is an obvious like opportunity that we should really take advantage of. So in the next several years, they really pumped up the marketing. Really make it clear. It's Christmas. Christmas equals Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this was in the 70s. It's not like, you know, recently. It's been in people's minds for like 40 years that Kentucky Fried Chicken, or sorry, KFC now, Christmas.
Yeah, so you're like a whole generation of people who grew up knowing nothing but that.
Yeah, exactly. The year when they first did the marketing campaign, they actually, it was the bucket of fried chicken and wine. Like, it was kind of a package deal.
Okay. Oh, so I see why it's for couples. Yeah. How romantic.
Yeah, you can get alcohol at a lot of Japanese fast food places.
Yep. Chicken and wine, and it sold at that time probably about $10, which is kind of pricey.
Yeah.
And this was in the mid-70s.
Oh,
So today, if you go to KFC for the Christmas chicken dinner, now it comes with champagne and, Chris mentioned, Christmas cake. And it's about $40.
It's worth it, probably.
Yeah, for like a family, you know.
That's awesome.
That's all of your Christmas meal done.
Done.
You got your booze, you got your sweets, you got your chicken.
And it's just, because there are no traditions attached to it, it was like this sort of open, you know, for anybody to rush in there and like make it about them.
A little bit of corporate history behind KFC in Japan. It was a joint venture between the American KFC and Mitsubishi Corporation.
Yes.
All like successful, like when Japan is so kind of closed off, you have to like partner with a Japanese company to like make your product a success.
Yep. So at the Osaka World Expo in 1970, they debuted a test store at that time it was still Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Sure, right. Before the name change. And it was obviously really successful because it was fried chicken. And also, it was American. It seemed really American.
Yeah.
They have the Colonel, Kentucky, you know.
Right.
Very, very homey.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was a hit, they decided, yes, let's go in and let's open up some stores. So the funny thing is the U.S. counterpart of Kentucky Fried Chicken, they're like, we should do what has been successful in the States is you open up KFC stores in the suburbs. Because then, you know, they buy it for family.
It's alternative to family dinner.
Right.
However, the big cultural difference between the two cultures at the time is that America is very car automobile centric.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Japan wasn't that into, you know, like not a lot of people would drive out to the suburbs. They'd take the train or something.
Yeah.
And even now.
Restaurants and things are clustered around train stations.
Yep. And big department stores. You do all of your stuff in one trip, kind of. The Japanese counterpart's like, no, we got to hit the bigger city centers.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they did open some of the suburban stores and they failed.
Yeah.
They lost money.
Yep, yep.
And so they're like, okay, you know what? Let's listen to
the people who live there.
Yeah.
And there is no like, oh, the family, we're the family, we're going to go out to dinner and go to a family, you know, restaurant. Like that tradition of taking the whole family out to dinner is not as much of a thing. KFC now kind of slots into that, like, students, they just got out of school, you know, out of high school, and they're not going to go home for dinner for a while, so they're going to go to KFC and eat. Or, like, you know,
urban young, yeah, like, professionals.
I'm, you know, I worked really late, mm-hmm. and I'm going to stop at KFC before I go home, that kind of thing.
And they do have a lot of fun with the icon of Colonel Sanders, yes. than we do. It's almost like Hello Kitty in a way.
Yeah.
They dress him up.
Every, or almost every, everyone that I've ever seen, Japanese Kentucky Fried Chicken has a statue, like this poly rosin kind of statue.
Yeah, yeah.
Life size of Colonel Sanders out in front of the door, which we don't have in America.
And yeah. they would dress him up for different seasons.
Santa hat.
A little Halloween costume. So, it's a cute character. Whereas here, we're kind of like, oh, it's an old Southern dude.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's a mascot. You know what they call him in Japan, Colonel Sanders? A lot of people call him Kentakun. Kentucky, and then Kun is like San, but for, like, you know, little kids or like your pal.
Like Kentucky pal. Little Kentucky pal.
But yep. Your little Kentucky pal is an old man.
Yeah.
But if you asked them, like, what is this guy's name? They would either say, I don't know, or, oh, you know, Kentucky.
Oh, not Colonel Sanders.
They would not necessarily know that. Yeah. You'd have to be deep into your KFC otaku lifestyle, which, to be fair, some people probably are.
But yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's...
I want some right now.
Yeah.
I want them to deliver right to this table.
'Twas the night before Christmas, in a musical trance. People prepare themselves for a Name That Tune dance. Not the jolly old melodies you usually hear, but sung by a robot who's quite unenthused, I fear.
In keeping with the holiday theme, I have invited our old friend Elvis to join us.
Yay!
The electronic lyrical vocalization interface system, our soulless, sense of musicless robot voice from the 1980s is here. He will be speaking opening lines from songs to you guys. Okay. And this is the holiday episode, so this will be the non-traditional end-of-year holiday version of Elvis.
All right.
Okay. So, which is just my long-winded way of saying these are not all Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So, yes,
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, oh, is it like modern Christmas?
Yeah.
Like,
not everyone celebrates Christmas, yeah. So it's...
Like, Jingle Rock is not really a carol, but it's Christmas.
But they're not all Christmas songs.
Okay, got
right.
it. They might be Hanukkah.
Yeah, it's a little mix. And these, and as I say, I want to emphasize non-traditional. Okay. Some of these may be in the running, maybe becoming classics. I will play the first line of the song. These are short.
Oh.
Get your buzzers ready. You guys buzz in. Tell me who's the artist for all of these. The artist, and if you want to show off and give me extra knowledge about the song, you can. Here we go. What holiday song is this?
Okay.
The moon is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough.
Chris.
Okay. A, you're a jerk. B, this is Paul McCartney's Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Correct on both counts.
Yay!
Wait, okay. Why is he a jerk?
Because now it's stuck in my head for the next 24 hours.
Oh,
and it's the worst Christmas song.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a bad
Simply
song? No!
Oh,
is that song?
That's that song.
That's not a carol?
No. That is Paul McCartney. Technically, Paul McCartney and Wings. Yes.
Yeah.
I just saw a headline just 3 days ago, I think, that the Shins, you guys know the band, the
yes.
Shins, their version of this song this year dethroned Mariah Carey as the most played Christmas song in retail establishments.
Wow.
Yeah. It had been, you know, the Mariah Carey, like, All I Want for Christmas.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
that has been
sure.
raining since what, like,
yeah.
1996 or
wow.
something. So.
I guess as Americans, we were just ready for something
old
and
yeah.
new. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next track. Who is the artist of this non-traditional holiday song?
Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away.
That's so sad.
Everyone together.
George
Michael.
Wham? Last Christmas?
Some dispute. Who wants to say definitively? Who is it?
Wham.
It is Wham.
Yeah.
That
last
guy,
Christmas.
The video, yeah.
All right, next track. What is this one? And we'll excuse Elvis's pronunciation. Who is this artist?
Okay. Put on your yarmulke. Here comes Hanukkah. So much funica to celebrate Hanukkah.
I think everyone had that.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. The Hanukkah song.
The Hanukkah
yes,
song.
Yes. The yarmulke. Yeah.
You could have tweaked that a little, yeah. But I don't think that's the spirit of it.
I know, yeah.
All right. We're getting a little bit trickier here. Moving up. All right. Next one.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun.
Chris.
Whoa. This is John Lennon.
This is Christmas.
Yes. This John.
Is it John Lennon or is it the Plastic Ono Band? Or
it is John and Yoko.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So
okay.
John Lennon with Yoko Ono. Yeah, yes. Yeah. That is. Do you know the full proper name of the song?
Is it? Oh yes. Yes, I do. It's Merry Christmas. Parentheses. War is over.
Oh yes. So close. It's Happy Christmas.
Oh, Happy Christmas.
Yes.
Sorry,
war is over.
British. Yeah.
It is very British. That's right. Happy Christmas. Parentheses. War is over. All right. Next track. I would say this one is on its way to becoming a new classic.
Oh sure.
It was December 24th on Hollis Ave after dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park.
Chris.
Run DMC.
Yes.
Christmas in Hollis.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Featured prominently in the movie Die Hard. An oldie but a goodie.
Okay.
All right. We're testing your knowledge here, guys. Again, I think this one has become maybe a modern classic, but very non-traditional. Who is this original artist?
It was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one.
Little Dark. Yeah, Chris.
Technically, that is the Pogues with Kirstie McCall, Fairy Tale of New York.
100% correct.
Yeah.
The Pogues, right. Yeah, who else is going to have a Christmas song that starts off in the drunk tank?
And I'll tell you, I actually heard a bit of trivia about Shane McGowan, what he got for Christmas this year, which is a new set of teeth.
Oh!
Has received a full set of permanent dental implants.
Wow.
And
Christmas.
Looks about 50 years younger. Yeah. Not for Christmas. It is a long, lengthy process of many dentist appointments.
Is that but, the lead singer of the
lead singer of the Pogues, who basically lost all of his teeth due to some hard living for a long time. But he has teeth now.
Well, that's a Christmas miracle.
Things you can get with money. Yeah.
All right, last one. This will either be the most difficult or the easiest.
Okay.
This is a three-parter. You're going to tell me. This is from a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
So I need the name of the TV show.
Okay.
I need the name of the character. And for the third bonus point, who is voicing this character?
Okay.
All right.
TV show character, voice of the character.
TV show character, voice of the character, non-traditional
Simpsons.
Holiday song.
Man.
There's seven basic principles that go to make a Kwanzaa. So sit your asses down and have some knowledge dropped upon you.
Karen, instantly.
That is from the character Kwanzaa Bot.
Correct.
From the show Futurama.
Correct.
Voiced by Coolio.
Correct.
Wow.
You could have written down Kwanzaa Bot.
I know, yeah. Kwanzaa Bot.
I didn't want to tip my hand and write down Kwanzaa Bot early. Yes,
yeah.
Kwanzaa Bot explaining to the crew
what
Kwanzaa is. All right.
Big points there.
Hey. And that's almost it. For our holiday special. And listeners, before we leave, Colin, you want to share some updates?
As mentioned on last season of the show, after several years incubation, testing, building, design, production, my game design partner and I, we have introduced a game called Bare Bones. It's got dice, it's got cards. And we've been having a lot of fun and have really been humbled by the support from our Good Job Brain listener audience. We have sold many, many copies to Good Job Brain listeners. Perhaps
yes.
You listening right now have bought yourself a copy. And it's been fun to see
sort of as a proxy of where our listeners are, where we're sending these copies of the games. I have to say, surprised at the distribution that maybe no surprise. We have sold a lot of games to Canada.
Wow.
Yeah, we really have. We sold a lot of games to Canada. But state-wise, Texas might be... might be number two. We've sold a lot in California, which, you know, which to be expected, perhaps. We our home base and a lot of our roots. But Texas, man, coming through, really.
Wow.
We have shipped. Well done, Texas. The furthest copy of a game we sent a game to Stephanie. I will withhold her last name, but Stephanie in Norway, shout out to you. The absolute, by distance, furthest copy of Bare Bones that has been sent out into the world.
How many miles is that? How many kilometers is that? Let's quickly look that up. Oh, it's a nice, a pretty round number. It's for me, I got 4969 miles. 5,000 miles.
Yeah, let's round it up to 5,000 miles. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it cost more in shipping than the base price of the game itself. So,
really?
If you are in Norway, I cannot say it is an affordable holiday gift, but we appreciate the thought. We're very proud of the game. We call it the dice game that thinks it's a card game. If that sounds fun to you, go check it out at Bare Bones Game. That's B-A-R-E, Bones, barebonesgame.com. And,
rar bear, naked
not
bear.
Rar, right, exactly.
What better way to celebrate togetherness by rolling dice and yelling at people? Sounds fun. Sounds great. And that's our show. Happy holidays, everyone. Be merry. Be safe. Thank you all for joining me, and thank you, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about old-timey family member names and about fermented Greenland shark. Mm-mm. You can find us on all major podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like IGN Movies, Plotting Through the Presidents, and Pulse of the Planet. And we'll catch you next week for our season finale.
Bye.
Happy Brainmas.
On the 12th day of Christmas, good job Brain gave to me 12 foreign snacks, 11 alliterations, 10 Tim Tam slamming, 9 new mnemonics, 8 waxed mustaches,
7 robots singing,
6 quizzes quizzing, 5 beaver balls, 4 crazy co-hosts, 3 poop jokes, 2 acronyms, and then I'm actually
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.